Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 6 action is Gilles Gallant, sports betting analyst with FTN Bets. You can follow him on Twitter at GDog, and that's with the W, 5000. Gilles, great to have you on the show.
Rob, thanks for having me, man. It's really great to actually show up on the show. I've been watching the show for many years, and it's really pleased that I was invited. Thank you very much for having me.
So what we're going to do, as always, we're going to do a quick recap of Week 5, then we're going to look forward to our NFL Week 6 picks. And Gilles, Week 5 did not treat us very well. We went 0-3 with our picks, starting with our Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week, Patriots, Raiders, Vikings. That really could have been, aside from losing all three of them, about as bad as it could be. The Patriots struggling the whole time versus the Texans. The Vikings, who was my survivor pick, were winning the whole game and then finding a way to backdoor win. And then, of course, the Raiders, the one that I was probably most confident about. Boom, Raiders at home. They're traditionally better there, completely laying an egg. And I guess little did I know everything that was going to unfold with John Gruden. What started as a footnote last week for me was, oh, this is a nothing, turned into, of course, the Raiders crapped the bed when everything was going on.
Yeah, and I think what's funny about that parlay is that even though you hit two of three legs, going into the fourth quarter, you would have thought that's an 0-3 for sure. Like, just because of the way that the Lions were still hanging around and the Vikings just couldn't put them away. I mean, honestly, I didn't even think the Patriots were going to win that game. And, the Texans proceeded to urinate down their leg. And then the Raiders, their offense, and it really has been the case for them every week. You really don't know what you're getting from them every week from an offensive standpoint. You would think with the matchup issues that they have, or matchup edges that they have, like a Darren Waller and Ruggs and Renfro, that they should be able to move the ball on anybody, and they couldn't do anything in that game. And we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I don't really like their chances going into Week 6 either.
All right, our get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week. I was on the Giants +7, and really, you just toss this one in the trash. You lose Daniel Jones, you lose Saquon Barkley, you lose Kenny Golladay, albeit that's not really a thing because has he really showed up this year at all? But all of a sudden, that bet went into the trash. So I'm like, well, there went that. And I actually felt good about that bet because the Giants getting a touchdown, they're a better road team from a betting perspective than they are a home team. They did backdoor cover for us against the Saints the week prior. So I felt confident. And sometimes you just got to chalk up a loss to a loss. I think that's why I'm so big into the thought process. Hey, what is our process for how we get our bets? How are you deciding on these things? Because if you lose Saquon Barkley and you're starting quarterback, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I had Giants money line in that game. For a lot of people who might not follow me or know me, I'm a huge Cowboys fan. And what I do every year is I either fade them on the spread or the money line, because that, to me, it's the emotional hedge about it. Like, so the way that I approach it is, if somebody came up to me and said, Gilles, Cowboys are going to go 17-0 this year, but you got to give me 17 units of your money, I'd be like, where do we sign up? Do you want cash? Do you want credit? You just tell me, and I'll do that right now. So last year, I was off a great start. Went 0-8 ATS to start the year. So that means I was 8-0 to start the year. Not obviously very happy in the heart, but very happy in the bank account. And then coming into this matchup, Giants coming off a great win over the Saints. Cowboys defense, even though, you know, Trayvon Diggs is making them look way better than they are, I still think the defense is a little bit overrated and can be exposed in certain matchups. And then, of course, Daniel Jones gets concussed. Obviously not his fault, but again, something that you don't really take into your handicapping. And then Saquon rolls his ankle off of a freak accident. And again, I don't know how much of a freak it is, because Saquon seems to be fairly injury prone so far in his career, but that was also a tough beat for me. That was my favorite money line of the week, and it wasn't because of the emotional hedge. I just literally thought the Giants are kind of in a position now where I really think that they could surprise this team. And it's the kind of game where Cowboys fans like myself, we come into it thinking we're top cock of the walk, ready to just kind of take over the league. And I thought that was going to be the game that kicks us in the face. Instead, we kicked them in the face.
Yes, and then the last one, the pick a loser of the Eagles plus 3.5, and boom, I'm sitting there, it's 15-3 Panthers. I'm dancing. I'm like, ooh, this is so good. I am so smart. I love me some Panthers. It felt good. But guess what? They only scored 3 points the rest of the game. Sam Darnold threw 3 interceptions, and there was a punt blocked. So I looked a little bit deeper into Carolina before this. In each of the last 2 games, both against your Cowboys and against this Eagles, Carolina has had the lead at half. They've scored 0 third-quarter points in each of those games and been outscored 38-17 in the second half. Woof. And the challenge with capping the Panthers right now is, well, that's without Christian McCaffrey, and here comes Christian McCaffrey, the one who is the spark plug for the offense. So do you assume that they're going to be better in the second half with McCaffrey? You would, but I think you also have to look and say, Sam Darnold threw 3 interceptions. We thought that the Jets were the problem. Now we're saying that Sam Darnold's back to throwing 3 interceptions. That becomes the problem again.
I think both can be true, though, Rob, because I think I think it is the Jets. But I think it's also a little bit of Sam Darnold as well. And I think we finally saw a peak of what we've seen for the first 3 years of his career in New York. And it was only a matter of time because, again, you saw even against the Cowboys, the only reason they were really in that game was because Darnold was taking it on his own and they didn't have a linebacker to spy on him to say, hey, he's already has 3 rushing touchdowns already this year. Maybe we want to pay attention to him when we're in the goal line scenario and they don't have McCaffrey. But nope. They score those 2 touchdowns, and then DJ Moore got a couple garbage touchdowns in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys. Going to the Eagles game, Eagles had no business winning that game. The Panthers had that on lock. I feel bad for it. I didn't bet the game, although earlier in the week I was saying that if I had to make a side, it would be Eagles money line, just being just the way that people were kind of getting a little too enthused about Carolina. But, yeah, that's a tough beat, man, and my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, and one caveat here, we are recording this on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, so we are not privy to the information that is going to come out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. So we are being more proactive and looking ahead in how we're seeing this without all of the information, because one of the things that is part of my sports betting process is I like to pull a variety of trusted sources to see who likes what, does this confirm or go against the way that I'm seeing things. But of course, we're hosting a sports betting podcast right now on a Wednesday, so we have to do the best job that we can with limited information and saying, hey, I'm going to give some picks. So that is always going to be my caveat. Would this be easier to do on Sundays or Saturdays or later on in the week? Of course it would be, but the line can move both ways depending on which side you want to be on. So I always like to give that caveat that I don't feel like we're in an advantage doing this on a Wednesday. But nonetheless, Joe, I am curious about something. So last week, I did a segment around stay away teams. So looking at this, I was like, you know what? Right now there's 4 teams that I am not betting because I do not trust them one bit. And you had no idea what to expect 1 week from the next. And this is for the majority of the NFL, but certainly there's a few teams. Well, guess what? Those 4 stay-away teams went 4-0 against the spread last week, right? Go figure. Starting with the Atlanta Falcons, who almost blew that giant lead. Number 2, the Titans, a team I couldn't understand. Number 3, my Pittsburgh Steelers. And number 4, the Eagles. So welcome to the world of sports betting. And one of the segments we will get to is get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I get it. We're going to be betting some bad and ugly teams throughout the course of the year. But there's these teams that have a history of either showing that they're not reliable, or sometimes in the case of a team like the Steelers, you look at what's happening with their offense and Ben Roethlisberger and the lack of an offensive line, and there is no faith whatsoever that they can score 10 points. So because of that, I was staying away from all 4 of those teams. And in that instance, Falcons almost choked it away. Eagles down 15-3. That's not exactly all warm and fuzzy. Pittsburgh played arguably their best game. Well, definitely their best game of the season, not Buffalo. And the Titans, they played the Jags, and that you almost throw that out because it's the Jags. What are your thoughts, or do you have any stay-away teams? Because it made me laugh to see that my stay-aways went 4-0.
Well, the stay-away team for me is the Raiders. I bet them week one as a moneyline home dog against the Ravens. Thought I was really smart. And obviously, I ended up being smart for one day because they ended up winning in overtime. But every game since, I have not liked the look at them at all. And I bet them as I bet against them, rather, the Broncos -3 for week six. Pretty much about an hour before the Gruden news broke. And then it's already up to -3.5. I think it might even climb up to -4 for them as a road underdog in Denver. And I really don't see how they win. I know that some people would make the argument that, well, without Gruden, there'll be less dysfunction and they'll win in spite of him. And it's like, you really want to bank on a bad team to do good things? You're asking to lose. Like, so that would be the team that I have basically just automatic. I'm staying away from them for the rest of the season. And I was already that approach as of week two onward.
Well, Jill, this is actually a great segue to my first segment called Pick a Loser, where our goal is to pick a losing bet.
Oh, what a loser.
And my pick a loser of the week, the Denver Broncos -3.5, which is perfect because I love when there's disagreement. And I actually originally had this in my uncomfortable bet segment, and I could flip either of them around. So often in sports betting and also fantasy, and I've mentioned this before, there is a team burns you, so you're not going to get on them the next week. Same with fantasy players, where you're like, oh my God, I'm never drafting Marvin Jones again. He just crushed me. And then all of a sudden he goes and blows up. And you're like, ugh, you saw it before. And maybe Marvin Jones isn't the example because he's been terrible this year for the last few. But sort of that's the spirit of the game. And with this, it's very formulaic for me in how I thought about this. Number one, division game with the Raiders getting more than a field goal. So I could almost remove both of these team names and just say, all right, we've got a division game with one team getting more than a field goal. And that to me has been something that's part of my foundational process where, hey, could the Raiders win this game? Yes, I'm not saying I believe in it. This is more of like the, I'm just going through my process. The whole John Gruden thing, yes. Could this be a relief for the team? Yeah, it certainly could. I'm not going to believe that this is the best thing in the world for the Raiders. But yeah, I can see a narrative where that is. And when I look at the Broncos, having watched the entire game versus the Steelers, I was 0% impressed by them. And this is with Teddy Covers there, who is notorious for covering games. So I look deeper into this. Who are the Broncos' victories against this year? Giants, Jags, and Jets. So it's like, while previously the narrative is, boom, they're taking care of business in games where they should be taking care of business. Now when we look at each of the last 2 weeks, you're like, well, wait a second. And now we've got the injuries to, well, we have the injuries to Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. And I just wasn't overly impressed. So with all of that together, even though I feel extremely uncomfortable about this, even though the Raiders burned me last week, even though I don't particularly believe in the Raiders, give me the Broncos -3.5 as my pick a loser of the week, strictly based on I'm getting 3.5 in a division game.
That's the key point I think we have to emphasize, and why I'm on the Broncos is because I got them at -3 at -110. Won't probably feel comfortable betting them more than that. And I think in that instance, if I was going to back the Raiders in this spot, I would just take their money line in this spot. Again, I'm more of a risk taker when it comes to that. I would probably be like, you know what, even if they keep it that close, I'm going to trust them to win the game instead of just, you know, trying to hope that they keep it within a field goal and winning my -110 bet. I'd rather go for like the +140 or the +160, depending on the book. It's not that I 100% disagree with you or that we couldn't come to a same kind of conclusion. I think it's just more Broncos at -3. The number is what drew me in just as much as I think the defensive matchups will as well, because The Broncos have been really good at defending tight ends this year. That's going to be the Raiders' biggest matchup issue with Darren Waller. Now, Darren Waller isn't your prototypical tight end, and the matchups that they were facing were not tight ends that on that kind of talented level. But I do think that there is some merit to that with how good that defense is on the Broncos, because it's not like the Steelers, even though they gave up that big touchdown to Deontay Johnson, they weren't really – and again, I guess I throw in another disclaimer that Ben Roethlisberger is not throwing like the Ben Roethlisberger of 10 years ago. But I just still think that the Broncos defense still looked fairly sharp in that game. It was just more they couldn't do anything offensively. And I think that's another token, too, that people are kind of forgetting is that the Steelers defense is still pretty good in the secondary. It's very hard to pass on them. So, again, that was just kind of maybe some notes with that. Now, I wanted to do the pick a loser thing after while we were talking. I actually have one that I think a lot of people are going to be betting this week. So far, I'm seeing 80% of the early bets are on the Packers spread at +4.5, and I'm fading that. Green Bay -4.5. I am taking the Bears +4.5 as home underdogs, mainly because of all the early action on the Packers. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are just going to be looking at historical matchups with this and knowing that how Rodgers does at Soldier Field and just against the Bears in general. But the Bears defense has been pretty good this year. I know that early on they kind of got exposed, but they kind of rounded into form. And I think we're starting to see Justin Fields be a little bit better. I think a lot of people are forgetting as well that this is only going to be his fourth actual career start, maybe even his third. And you looked at some of the other guys like Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and anyway, it doesn't matter. Rookie quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, rookie quarterbacks, you're seeing them progress as they get more reps and more starts.
Crazy how that works.
And who would have thought? So, and I think that's one thing that you're going to start to see, hopefully, if Matt Nagy doesn't want to be a complete inept coach, starting to kind of take the plastic off of the offense here and maybe allowing Fields to cook a little bit more. And as well, the Packers defense I know that they looked fairly decent this past Sunday against the Bengals, but I'm not going to just omit the fact that they're missing Jair Alexander. Preston and Za'Darius Smith are both out as well. So pass rush is already going to be a little difficult for them. Plus the fact that who's going to guard Allen Robinson? I'm not saying that Allen Robinson is like this, you know, matchup dependent breaker or whatever, but he is probably going to score a touchdown in this game if they're playing Kevin King on him or Adrian Amos or somebody along those lines who has to face him on a deep route. So I think at +4.5, like I'm tempted to take the Bears money line, but I'm not going to be that brave. But I think at +4.5, I think that's a good number going into this week. And I think as well, I think that might actually grow to about +5 by the time we get to Sunday, just because of all the bets coming in on the Packers.
God, for fantasy owners, let's pray that Allen Robinson gets in that end zone, because it has been bleak.
Yeah, even Darnell Mooney or like Cole Kmet, like nobody really on the Bears offense has probably had, outside of David Montgomery against the Lions a couple weeks ago when he rushed for 2 touchdowns, but nobody's really had what I would consider a breakout game where you would feel comfortable in having one of them in your starting lineup on fantasy.
Yeah, and with this, like you said, if you're betting the Bears, wait on this. Not that exactly 5 is just a dead number, but still you would rather have 5 than 4.5. So I'd probably be waiting. So let's get to our next segment called Get Comfortable Being Uncomfortable. And this is a bet that is gross, does not make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Because so often everyone's like, you know what, I'm just going to take the Chiefs. Because that's fun and easy to bet on Patrick Mahomes, even though over the last, 1 year, the Chiefs have not been a profitable bet. So for me, I feel very uncomfortable with this. I'm going to give this a Herman Moore 84 out of 100 on the uncomfortable scale. Give me the Detroit Lions getting 3.5 at home, taking on the Bengals. And I also thought about this for my pick a loser. So the Lions are due for a win. You can feel it in the Dan Campbell tears. He wants this so bad. And we look at it, and the Lions, they're actually 3-2 against the spread on the season for a team that is power ranked as one of the 3 bottom teams in the league. They are keeping things competitive. Cincinnati, on the other hand, it feels like they won that game against the Packers, right? It feels like the Bengals are the best team in the NFL right now. But guess what? They're just 2-3 against the spread on the season. And looking at the Cincinnati Bengals season, they lost to the Bears and struggled with the Jags. Are we falling in love with Ja'Marr Chase and what we want Joe Burrow to be without realizing that, wait a second, maybe this Bengals team hasn't been the most consistent this year, but wait, Rob, they find a way to win. Sure, yes, it's nice that they do win, but at the same time, I do believe there is some margin of error that's currently happening with the Bengals. Their kicking wasn't exactly on point last game, and I do feel like everyone is crowning them. That game against the Packers, man, good job, Bengals. You guys hung in there. You should have won. You could have won. Oh, that is so cute. I feel like the Bengals are too cute right now. And Dan Campbell, he's ready to take out some kneecaps. So for me, give me the Lions +3.5 to potentially get their first win, but I'm going to get more than the field goal. So give me the Lions 3.5. What about you?
Yeah, that loss against the Packers was karma, because they should have lost week one against the Vikings, if we're being truly honest, because the Vikings were right there. Dalvin Cook has a very uncharacteristic turnover in overtime. For myself, I pretty much thought the Bengals, I don't want to say they're overrated, but just if you look at some of their wins so far, it's pretty bad. So I'm not against it, and I think the Lions are one of those, like, I would definitely want to take them from a spread standpoint, because I think they're really feisty. I think my biggest concern is not necessarily the receiving depth of the Bengals, is that the Lions just can't stop the run. Like, it's been pretty much documented since the start of last season. They allowed the most rushing touchdowns last year. They're bottom three again this year in rushing touchdowns. Back a couple weeks ago when we did Touchdown Town, my co-host and I, we were all in on David Montgomery to rush for 2 touchdowns in that game at +750. So we're doing backflips when it happens, like I think in the second quarter. And it's just been the kind of the MO of the Lions so far, that they can't seem to stop the most obvious weakness that they have. So it's not that I'm saying that the Bengals can't do it, or the Lions can't do it, rather. It's just the only way that it's going to happen is if they have to keep Joe Mixon out of the end zone. And that, to me, is easier said than done. I also have an uncomfortable bet. I wanted to know what your thoughts were, because if you thought the Lions was uncomfortable, wait till you hear this one. I think, Rob, Jacksonville is going to win their first game in 20 games against the Dolphins in London. +165 money line is what I'm taking here. The first win in 20 games. And I joked to Jess, who you had on your show earlier, because she's a big Dolphins fan. I said, we need to rename the team the Dolphins, because they're not playing defense at all. There's no D in Miami right now. They're actually getting worse as the season goes on. They had there was 21 passing touchdowns allowed last year. That was bottom or top two in the NFL. They've already allowed, I want to say, like 8 or 9 so far this year. We're only 5 games in. Their secondary is just getting gouged. And I really think Jacksonville as well, you know, they're that adopted team of London. They always play there every year. I'm already seeing as well that Xavier Howard is not practicing today. He might not play this week. That's a big loss for them from a defensive standpoint, for a defense that's already struggling. So for myself, Jacksonville money line at +165. Let's get uncomfortable, Rob. I'm probably going to lock that bet in here in a couple minutes after the show.
Yeah, betting on Jacksonville in general is very uncomfortable, because they're currently doing what was the value on the Browns from years ago. And I talked about this earlier on in the year of, what do you do when there's so much value on the worst teams possible? Oh, the Sharps are on the Jags again. The Sharps are on the Jags again. Huh, the Jags are 0-5 against the spread on the season. They're absolutely, 1-4 against the spread on the season. So it has not been a profitable bet. So it's not easy, especially when you watch some of the mistakes that Trevor Lawrence is making. As someone who has him in a 2QB league, I think about the one where they do the trick pass, and it's like, oh, we're going to get all loosey-goosey, here it comes, and he lobs this little nothing pass for a pick six, and I don't remember who that was against. But you're sitting there and you're like, I'm watching my cover just run into the end zone the other direction. So, of course, it's extremely uncomfortable. But sort of like you said with the rookies are going to improve. And remember, Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be an Andrew Luck type generational talent. And has he looked at that so far? Not exactly, but he is supposed to get better. There's nothing about what I'm seeing with the Dolphins right now that is exactly making me feel all confident about Jacoby Brissett. The thing that I always go back to, or at least need to bring up, is Wait, I thought we all liked Brian Flores as a coach. Wasn't that the reason that, wait a second, maybe the Dolphins can make the playoffs this year? Yeah, but they lost Tua. But the number against the spread is not going down from Jacoby Brissett to Tua. So clearly the quarterback is not the issue. So I'm sort of scratching my head because foundationally, this is a team that was supposed to be foundationally strong with their coach. And they were supposed to take a progression this year. And now we're talking about them potentially losing to the Jaguars. It's just something that's incongruent. So I just wanted to talk that out. That's not necessarily like a lean. It's just, it is what it is.
Well, and I think one of the things that to give credit, I guess, to Flores and to the Dolphins, it's kind of difficult to be good defensively the entire game when your defense is on the field for 2/3 of it. That's the reality, is that Jacoby Brissett, since he's been the quarterback, outside of against the Raiders, they have not put up points. Against the Colts, they couldn't do anything. Against the Buccaneers, they couldn't do anything. So for me, when I see this matchup, I'm not going to pretend like Jacksonville is on the level of those two teams from a defensive standpoint, but there's no Devontae Parker. Will Fuller is going to be out now, so your passing options for an offense that is already quite limited with Brissett throwing is now Jalen Waddle, and I believe Preston Williams is probably going to get some run as well. He had a little couple snaps and targets and catches this past week, and obviously Mike Gesicki at tight end. It's just very difficult to fathom how we're going to see, let's say, 21 points or 24 points outside of 8 field goals, maybe. I don't know. But you know, so it's difficult to kind of envision how that's going to happen. And then, of course, on the Jacksonville side, again, just kind of slowly ramping up. I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of James Robinson. Laviska Shenault is starting to kind of pick up and be utilized a little bit more. I think Urban Meyer is maybe making some wiser judgment calls, you know, on the field to kind of be in the spot to win. Like, one of the things that I looked at too, and I know that obviously it's a 4-quarter game, but they were up on the Cardinals at halftime. Like, they gave them a pretty good go. And it just, obviously we saw, you know, inept offense and Trevor Lawrence, you know, just not looking like a number one overall pick. But I just think, again, at this scenario, the Dolphins having to travel this far, not to say that the Jaguars and a lot of these players are newbies anyway, so it's not like they remember like previous years of traveling to London. But again, just getting that home vibe, you know, they're probably going to have a little bit better accommodations than, like, let's say Miami will, just because it's Jacksonville and because of the agreements they have in place. And again, just getting them as a home dog, you know, in this spot where the Dolphins defense has just been below average, and then also likely going to be missing their best player, because if he's already missing practice on Wednesday, if he doesn't practice tomorrow, they're not going to put him on the plane to London, you know, especially with the way that would kind of affect him. So I just think at this point, with the way that Jacoby Brissett is playing, I think maybe Tua might be able to come back for this game. I don't think they'll risk it. I think they'll play Jacoby one more game. I just think that this is probably the only spot of the year where I could be like, you know what, let's do Jacksonville money line in this instance.
And what better way to start your Sunday than to wake up and get super uncomfortable by saying, you know what, give me the Jaguars. That's how I'm starting my day of sports betting. So let's get to our last segment, our Big Mick money line parlay of the week.
Mm-hmm. I see they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick.
And the goal of this bet is just to produce a winning bet. That is it. This week, I've got a 3-team money line parlay that pays out plus 114. Give me the Colts, the Rams, and the Steelers. So, Jill, what I like to do is say, who is going to lose this for me? Let's poke holes in what I'm doing right here. Colts, I don't have a lot of faith in them whatsoever. Actually, not at all. I can definitely see them losing this game, but I don't exactly have a lot of love and faith into Davis Mills. And I love the narrative of Twitter and sports media where, heading into the Patriots game, Davis Mills, terrible. Post recap of week 5, Davis Mills, I really like him. He's been good this
franchise
year.
I'm like,
is everybody not listening to the same things you're saying week after week? I'm not in love with that side of things, but I'm just trying to produce a winning bet. Give me the Colts, and they're probably going to be my survivor pick. To me, the Colts are the AFC version right now of the Vikings. I don't feel comfortable. I don't trust them. Rams. For me, them taking on the Giants, that's my lock. But we're sitting there at their 9.5-point spread. So that's just a monster plus four, or minus 400. So I had to sprinkle in my Pittsburgh Steelers taking on Geno Smith. And literally, that side of the bet was only a bet against Geno Smith. But Geno Smith looked so good against whoever they were playing last week.
Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in that, man.
Nope. I'm not believing in that whatsoever. I think about someone this weekend was like, Geno Smith is still in the NFL, and I had to go to the, yeah, he's a backup for Russell Wilson, because if he goes down, you need someone who can run a similar system. It's Geno Smith. So for me, I actually feel, if I'm going to rank this in confidence, Rams number one, betting against Geno Smith number two, Colts number three. That's my big McMoney line parlay of the week. What about you?
I am very similar to you, Rob. We will substitute, though, the Steelers for something we talked about earlier, and I took the Broncos. Because, again, that's just, again, I'm doubling down where I just don't really feel great about the Raiders going forward. So Colts, Rams, Broncos pays out to plus 120, maybe plus 125, depending on the book that you use. The only thing that I would say about the Steelers and why I actually like that pick a lot is because let's look at Geno Smith's career. Outside of the first year where he was with the Jets, he went 8-8. He, I believe his record as a starter, like, is probably, like, I counted it up back before the season started, because this goes to a second part that I wanted to talk about, is that it was like 5-25, like, in starts. Like, and a lot of it was mop-up duty too. Like, when he would come in, like, in the fourth quarter when the team was clearly winning by like 30 points. So another thing that I wanted to talk about is before the season started, I took a lot of crap for this pick. And I just, the reason why is because I picked the Seahawks to finish with the worst record in the NFL. And I took a juicy line at 125-1. And why I said it was, is because if anything happens to Russell, the depth on that team is screwed. Like, they don't really have, like, they're completely geared to Russell's skill set. And there's been at least two or three games that I know that you could think of off the top of your head where the Seahawks had no business winning the game, and Russell just pulled something out from his butt, and it was just like, where did this come from? Like, how did the Seahawks win this game? Because Russell Wilson is that good. Cue in for Geno. People are looking at it like, oh, okay, well, he came in the second half, and he did pretty well against the Rams. It's like, okay, the Rams didn't prep for him at all, and really, he didn't really do that great. He threw a touchdown to DK Metcalf. Like, that was pretty much it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as far as highlights go in the second half, and what did he do? He did exactly what we all queued him up to think he was going to do. He threw a game-deciding interception in the final minutes. That's what you're going to get with Geno Smith. So I'm not – just to kind of go with – I wanted to say to you that I think the Steelers, I think you should feel confident in that pick, even as bad as Ben has looked in certain respects, because the secondary is going to allow guys like Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool to get open. And Najee Harris is a lot better than I think people are giving him credit for, even though he was probably a first or second round pick in fantasy. I think he's one of the best pass catching backs in the league right now as a rookie. So I think they're going to be able to expose the Seattle defense on this front, because I think the Seattle defense is a little overrated, because a lot of people, they just think of Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams and don't look at the rest of the other nine guys that are on the field. But the Colts, Rams, and Broncos is going to be my pick for the week, for a lot of the exact reasons that you stated about the Colts and the Rams. The Colts, I don't want to call it bad luck, because I feel like sometimes it's them shooting themselves in the foot, but they've been in every game that they've played. Even the game in week one where it was a clear loss against Seattle, it was basically pretty much a one-possession game midway through the third quarter. It's always coming down to these one or two deciding plays that pretty much go against them in this instance. But then again, going and playing against the Dolphins, even though I just crapped on the Dolphins about how bad their defense was, playing at home, they basically could demanded and controlled that game the entire time. So the Colts, if anything, I feel fairly confident in this three-leg parlay. Rams, if we really want to get into it, I mean, it's fairly simple. No Daniel Jones, no Saquon Barkley. The Rams are over 10-point favorites, I believe, right now as of this recording. So feeling fairly confident as a minus 600 money line right now with the Rams. The Broncos, we can reiterate kind of what we already talked about, but that's another reason why it's actually, I like it even more, just because you're getting them at the money line odds instead of trying to get them to win by 3 points or more. Because again, I just think that the Raiders, if you're banking on them, it's very difficult to know what you're going to get week in, week out. You don't know if it's going to be the game that Derek Carr throws for 400 yards and Darren Waller looks unstoppable, or is it the game where Kenyon Drake is getting a ton of red zone looks and they can't do anything. And the, really the only highlight is a Hunter Renfro, you know, tackle on special teams or something like that. So I just think for me with the Raiders, I think people in the public are maybe getting a little too caught up in the team, like starting at 3-2. And then if you go look at the two previous years of the Raiders, they started 6-3 one year, 6-4 another year. They are the type of team that starts off hot. But again, and I mean, I don't really want to get into the Gruden stuff, but it's more just along the lines of what it means to a team to lose their coach midseason and how they respond. I don't really think that they have the players and the personnel to respond to a kind of instance like that. And going on the road to play in Denver, which is not an easy place to play against a team that is coming off two straight losses, I think it's going to be difficult for the Raiders to win this one. So that's why of the three, the Broncos is obviously the third from a confidence standpoint, but Colts, Rams, Broncos, or Colts, Rams, Steelers, I like them both.
All right, and we're going to rapid fire this last thing here because there are two marquee games that have a spread of -3. And the reason I didn't give out a pick for either of them is because in sports betting, you're looking for an edge or an advantage. Hey, what do I feel good about? We got the Ravens laying 3 at home, taking on the Chargers. Browns laying 3 at home, taking on the Cardinals. Those are A-plus matchups. And I can actually see both sides of it. Of course, you would love to have 3 points with the Chargers or 3 points with the Cardinals. Those teams have been some of the best teams in the NFL this year. I don't exactly trust the Ravens, but guess what? They're finding a way to win. In the Browns, people are saying they're a Super Bowl contender, and they're a team who is in it every single week. So if you had to choose, would you rather on both games be on the -3 or be getting the +3 if you had to take just one of those? Do you have to get both home teams or both road teams?
I would take +3, and actually what my strategy is, I've already done this week, is I was able to get both of their money lines around +130, +125. And I just took both of the road dog money lines and I just put one unit on each because I think these are both coin flip games. And I think you could make a case for both sides. And I think even odds makers are saying that if you're going to put a -3 line like that. So in my experience, maybe I go 2-0, but if I go 1-1, it's still going to be profitable in that instance. So that's why, from a strategy standpoint, that's what I would do when I find that there's two games like that in a week where you could make a legitimate betting case on both sides. And so if I had to choose one, I probably would take the Chargers, to be honest, over the Cardinals, because I think the Browns offer an element that is very difficult to stop, and that's the run game. Like, I really don't know. Like, I'm still shocked that they lost that game against the Chargers because I'm actually really high on the Browns secondary and really defense in general. And I think that just shows how good like a player like Mike Williams is, of that he is almost matchup proof. You can put him on Denzel Ward. You can put him on Marcus Lattimore. It doesn't really matter. He's going to be able to get open, and Herbert is going to be able to find him. And I think that's why in this instance, it's not to say that the Cardinals can't win this game, but I was kind of a little disappointed with how that 49ers game went this past week. I really thought that they could be able to exploit certain things that the 49ers do. And I mean, you could even argue that the 49ers should have won that game. Like Trey Lance, think about how many red zone opportunities the 49ers had in that game. And Trey Lance like could probably even just reach the ball over the goal line when he got stuck at the 1 yard line. And then it's a tie game at that point. So that's kind of where, for me, if I had to choose between the two, I would take the Chargers +3. But again, I'm more of the money line better, so I would probably take Chargers money line in that spot. If you can't decide between the two games, I would take money line on both road underdogs. More than likely, you're going 1-1.
And I love that thought process, and that's exactly why I asked that, because you're sitting there 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2 on the money lines. You can see any of those scenarios happening. It doesn't mean this is my lock of the week. It's more of a process for saying, listen, picking winners, here's two that are live dogs. Jill, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Rob. Thank you again for having me. So you can find all of my written and betting content at ftnbets.com. You said at the top of the show, you can follow me as well on Twitter at gdog5000. I also host two betting shows every week for Bets TV. live on Sundays at 11 Eastern. I host a show called Touchdown Town because what I'm known for is the touchdown scorer props. And we give out our best touchdown scorer props for the 1 p.m. Eastern and 4 p.m. Eastern games. And then on Tuesdays, I host a nice little weekly betting show called Dog Day Afternoon, where I bring on people like yourself and just we jam it up, kind of similar to the show, kind of talk about what happened in week, the respective week, look ahead lines, all that cool stuff, and being able to see if we could find any edges for sports bettors out there that are looking for it earlier in the week.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 6 card? Do you have a pick a loser, get comfortable being uncomfortable, bet of the week, or a Big Mick Moneyline Parlay? You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to hit up at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The broken down the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.